This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump, soon after last November's election, made wild claims about millions of votes cast by non-citizens as a way to explain his popular vote loss. Refusing to back off from those claims, he has now convened a so-called election fraud panel, to which he named Kansas State Secretary Chris Kobach, famous for being the subject of four successful ACLU lawsuits based on his blocking the legitimate rights of thousands of people to vote. Trump's claims of election fraud are perfectly in line with a long-running claim by Republicans like Kobach that is utterly lacking in evidence of widespread election fraud in the U.S. Only when seen through an Orwellian lens do these conservative claims make sense. By claiming there is election fraud, the GOP and now Trump create the basis for undermining voting rights of those people who tend to vote for their rivals. In other words, Trump's election fraud panel might as well be entitled a vote suppression panel. My guest is Greg Pallast. He knows a thing or two about voting rights and shenanigans in the elections. He's an investigative reporter whose news-breaking stories appear on BBC Television, The Guardian, and Rolling Stone magazine. His latest film is called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, which is based on his New York Times best-selling books. Welcome to the program, Greg.
Hey, glad to be with you again, Sonali.
So, of course, we've talked about your documentary on this show. We featured it during our fund drives. Let's talk about what Trump is claiming. It's, of course, it seems to be a very convenient thing for his, hurt ego that he can claim that he lost the popular vote because millions of people, quote unquote, voted illegally. It's very convenient that that lines up so nicely with Republicans' longtime claims that there is this widespread election fraud, therefore they have to crack down on voting. And of course, they end up cracking down on legitimate voting. Is this something that has a longtime collusion, or is it just that the GOP and Trump have found a nice common cause here?
There's something far more dangerous than Trump's ego, if you can imagine such a thing, something far bigger. And you hit on it when you said their claim that there are millions of illegal voters is in fact a cover story for them removing millions of legal voters from the voter rolls. And that's what's been missed by the mainstream media. In other words, yes, it's pretty easy to prove that there are not 3 million people. They've claimed 3 million people have voted twice in the United States in the same election in two different states. That's one of Trump's claims, 3 million people. He also said a million people have basically swum the Rio Grande to vote for Hillary Clinton, illegal aliens and aliens. Now, if it were just Trump massaging his own ego, or a wild claim, we wouldn't care. But here's the problem. He's put a guy named Chris Kobach in charge. Chris Kobach, the Secretary of State of Kansas, he is Trump's number one voter hitman. And when Trump talks about 3 million people voting twice, he actually has a list of those 3 million people. A blacklist was created of 3 million Americans whom they have accused of voting twice. Why is this dangerous? Because they've been using that list to remove these people from the voter rolls. You vote twice, Sonali, you go to the prison for 5 years. They're not arresting people for the crime because they know they didn't do it. What they're doing is that they have a list of 7 million names, and they're saying that this is not 7 million different voters. These are 3.5 million voters voting twice. They've kept the list secret, but in my investigation for my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy for Rolling Stone magazine, I actually uncovered their list. I've got it. And that list is so laughable if it weren't so deadly and racist. It's filled with names like James Brown. This guy, Chris Kobach, whom Trump is put in charge of this so-called investigation, has said that a guy named James Brown in Atlanta has voted twice because, believe it or not, he found a guy named James Brown who voted in Detroit. Now, James Brown of Atlanta is James Thomas Brown. James Brown of Detroit, Michigan, is James Edward Brown. That doesn't matter to him. They have 288 guys named James Brown in Georgia who they say have voted in other states, and that includes James Brown Sr., James Brown Jr., James Brown the second, are supposed to be the same guys, James Brown the third. The list is just a list of common names, but it's not common names for Republicans. It's names like Mohammed Mohammed. 24 guys named Mohammed Mohammed in Columbus had their votes challenged in that important swing state of Ohio, simply because they had the most common name on this planet, Mohammed Mohammed. But of course, it's not a very common name for Republicans. This is dangerous stuff, Sonali. Hmm.
So this particular election fraud panel, so-called, would be headed by Vice President Mike Pence. The vice chair of the panel is Chris Kobach. And Kobach, who, of course, even the New York Times very openly criticized him. The ACLU has sued him four times successfully for undermining voting rights. Kobach said, if there's no such thing as voter fraud or voter fraud is insignificant, then the commission will be able to confirm that. What are they afraid of? Why do they not want to know these numbers, he's asking. Now, Greg, I thought that there have been plenty of studies looking into election fraud, and they've repeatedly come up with the evidence that there is almost no election fraud happening in the U.S., perhaps because it's already quite hard to vote in the United States legitimately, right?
And they want to make it harder. That's the whole point. First of all, having Chris Kobach investigate vote fraud is like having Al Capone investigate the mob. Chris Kobach is notorious. Notorious. And first of all, even though he's Secretary of State of Kansas and he's on a presidential panel, he still lists himself as counsel to an organization called FAIR, which is an organization which was founded by a white suprematist who said the purpose of our organization is to maintain a European-American majority in the United States. Kobach is their counsel.
FAIR is the Federation for American Immigration Reform.
That's correct. Yeah. They call themselves FAIR. They're quite unfair, but the main thing is that they're a white suprematist group. They want to keep America as white as possible. Now, the problem is that putting this guy in charge of the voting system. Now, by the way, there's been lots of investigation of voting. We don't need a federal panel. We have something called the FBI. Hmm. If you voted twice, if you are an illegal alien, you shouldn't be put on a list. You should go to prison. Sonali, if you rob a bank, they don't close your bank account. They put you in prison. Yes, there have been illegal aliens voted. There was one conviction, one single conviction in Florida. Kobach and his friends claim there were 181,000 illegal aliens voting in Florida. They found one, and they convicted him. It was a Republican, a guy from Austria who voted for Jeb Bush. He got 10 years in the can, after which he will be deported. That's all they could find. There's only been about five convictions in the past decade of an alien voting. Because you know what? Believe it or not, when people are aliens or people are illegal aliens, last thing that they do is turn in their name and address to the federal government and show up to vote. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, what motivation would there be for undocumented people to vote in the United States? There's very little actual reward, unless, of course, the Republican Party imagines that someone, the Democratic Party, is paying these people to vote. You know, it's like there's just very little incentive to actually vote in the United States.
What they need to do, if they found someone who's voted illegally, you don't put them on a list and take away their right to vote. Secretly, by the way, this system that they're using to find double voters, they call interstate cross-check. It's merely a matching of first and last names. I kid you not. David Lee, Jorge Rodriguez, Jose Hernandez, James Brown, Isabel Hernandez. These are real names from the list. Hundreds of them, thousands of people named with these common Hispanic and Asian American names. And of course, you know, Asian Americans now vote as if they've turned black. 75% voted Democratic in the last election. Hispanics and obviously African Americans do, you know, it's not that they dislike the color of their skin. These aren't that type of racist. They don't like the color of their vote, which is blue. This interstate cross-check system, and here's the danger, has already removed, get ready for this, 1.1 million names from the voter rolls. 1.1 million names. There is zero question that this cross-check list from Chris Kobach basically stole Michigan for Donald Trump. They, because I spoke to the Secretary of State's office in Michigan. They said they were very, very aggressive in removing names that they found on Kris Kobach's list. 500,000 Michiganders were on his list. They probably removed about 60,000 of them by the 2016 election. That's our information. And Donald Trump only won that state by 10,700. You remove 60,000 voters of color. That was the presidential election in Michigan. And you see this in other swing states. In Ohio, it's not small numbers. We're talking tens of thousands of voters in these states making up the margin, or most of the margin, that put Trump over the top.
And of course, this is exactly what this election fraud panel will not be investigating, because the people in charge of that fraud panel are the ones responsible for creating this kind of other fraud. In fact, there have been reports of Trump supporters voting twice because they didn't trust the system and they wanted to test it. One in Iowa, a woman in Texas, a self-described Trump supporters who was caught voting twice. Very interesting. We don't, of course, hear Republicans talking about that. So go ahead.
No, exactly. I mean, of course, it's so rare. And what you found out is that they get caught.
Yeah.
You get caught, you vote twice, it's pretty easy to catch you, because we do have people's last four numbers of their social security number. We have their middle names. We have their address histories. You can catch double voters, but not by this system that they're using of simply matching first and last names. And I'd like you to note that Kris Kobach is a very unique name. He won't be on the list. His benefactor, Charles Koch and David Koch, they're not on the cross-check list. But if your name is Jose Hernandez, as one of our experts said at Rolling Stone, one of the statistical experts said, if your name is Jose Hernandez, you're suspected of voting in 29 states in one election. This was actually put into effect in the last election. No question, this type of purging had a lot to do with Trump's alleged victory. That's what ought to be investigated. And that's not what's being investigated. And unfortunately, it's not even being investigated by the Democrats aren't calling for an investigation either. They have stayed completely away from this because we know that, you know, let's face it, Democrats also play games with the votes, but mainly in primaries, as we saw in California here in June of 2016. I was investigating that too. So I investigate Democrats and Republicans.
Briefly tell me about that. I don't think we've covered that on our show. In California primaries, Democrats were pulling off some dubious stuff?
Oh my God, yes. In fact, last night being at the talk by Amy Goodman here in San Diego, I had the opportunity to speak with whistleblower poll workers. And what we found in June of 2016 is that there were literally a couple of million people, and what they call NPP voters, no party preference voters, what most people call independent voters, and who were denied the right to cast a ballot, even though in the California Democratic primary, independent voters are allowed to vote. Now, why is that significant? They were told you can't vote for all kinds of cockamamie reasons. And I got to tell you right now, there are still today, as we speak right now, we still have a million ballots never tallied from the June 2016 election. That's official. That's official. A million untallied ballots where supposedly Hillary Clinton won that primary over Bernie Sanders by 400,000 votes. I didn't have a position in that primary except to look to follow the votes. Now, why is it what's the problem of not counting those independent ballots for technical reasons? The answer is that three out of four independent voters went for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton, whereas the Democratic Party regulars voted in the majority for Hillary Clinton. So if you knock out the NPP voters, you're going to have Hillary Clinton winning, not with the majority of the vote, but with the majority, but by basically not counting her opponent's votes. And they did it. Let me just give you a couple examples. I don't want to get too technical, but for example, this may sound incredibly odd to people around the country. If you're an independent voter and you have the right to vote in the Democratic Party primary, you have to ask for you can't ask for a Democratic Party ballot. You have to ask for something called a crossover Democratic Party ballot. And dig this, in San Diego and in other counties, if you didn't know that, you didn't get the ballot. So if you were an independent voter, said, okay, I have a right to vote in the Democratic Party, please give me a Democratic Party ballot. They'd say, no, you can't have that. So they were telling people you cannot vote in the Democratic Party primary, even if you're independent, if you didn't happen to know the exact phrase. They were told you cannot tell people you have to ask for a crossover ballot. No, you don't want a Democratic Party ballot. You want something that's marked crossover ballot. There's no difference between the ballots, but you have to know to ask for a crossover ballot. It's like Mother May I. It's completely insane, and it's purely meant and deliberately meant to stop people from having their votes counted. And a lot of people, and here's even the worst thing. Some people, some of the independent voters were given Democratic Party ballots when they asked for them. Well, guess what? If you're an independent voter and your ballot doesn't say crossover Democratic Party ballot, just says Democratic Party ballot, are you following this crazy business? If you got the wrong ballot, they will throw it out in the
Los Angeles. So they were given the wrong ballot, which was then thrown out because it was the wrong ballot instead of being given the right kind of ballot. Wow. Now you're making me question whether my vote counted. I was an NPP voter in California, and I can't remember exactly. I'd have to go back and dig out and see if I can find my own voting records. But so the point of this sort of tangent that we've taken is that Democrats, too, don't like to investigate elections and voting rights too thoroughly because they tend to play games at the primary level. There is actually a lawsuit happening right now that would basically accuse the DNC of stealing the primary election from Sanders in favor of Hillary Clinton. I'm not sure whether they're going to include this aspect of the California primary or not. But Greg, let's finally come back to what Trump is planning. I feel like all of these efforts that they're putting into uncovering so-called election fraud, first of all, it's a huge waste of money. But I'm wondering if it makes sense to let this election fraud panel play out to see what kind of evidence, because they've never been able to present real evidence that stands up to scrutiny. Even when they make claims, they hide the evidence, like the evidence that you have in your hands. They've hidden that evidence. So it would be interesting to say, go ahead, uncover the evidence, show it to us, and let people investigate it.
But the problem is we have, unfortunately, a very lazy American press. I worked with BBC and The Guardian newspapers out of Britain, and it's a very different culture there. What's going to happen is Chris Kobach has already said he will now have access to all the Homeland Security files. And what he's going to be doing, because I've seen him do this trick before, he's going to take the names of people registered green card holders in America, and just use, again, like he did with CrossCheck, use their first and last name and say, oh, there's an alien, a guy with a green card named Jose Hernandez, and there's a guy who's registered to vote named Jose Hernandez. That's got to be the same guy. Now, you might find that laughable, but he's going to come up with a general number. He's going to say there are 1.5 million illegal aliens or legal aliens, even they can't vote, obviously. He's going to say that there's 1 million legal aliens and 500,000 illegal aliens who are registered to vote in the United States. And when you say, well, why don't you arrest them? Why don't you deport them? They come up with all kinds of excuses, because if these criminals really existed, you should arrest them. And they don't, because they don't exist. It's just a matching of names, and they will not give out those lists. I had to, as an investigative reporter, get my hands on the list. They did everything in the world to stop me from getting the cross-check list. They're going to stop me from, and any reporter who's worth his salt is going to ask for those lists. I don't count on it with American journalism, but you never know. I will be asking for his list, and I'm not going to get them, and I know that. We're going to have to fight for that.
Right. So, they basically will hold up a list, say these are the people who are committing a crime, and the penalty we're going to do is we're going to cancel their registration. We're not actually going to go and charge them with any crimes. We're just going to take away their ability to vote, which, of course, serves a political purpose but doesn't stand up to any legal scrutiny. We shall see how this all plays out. Greg, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I assume your documentary is available for people to stream or to buy on DVD?
Yes, at Amazon, you can find The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And I want to say hi to my mom, who's just turned 95.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy 95. Belated Mother's Day as well. Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Sonali.
Thank you, Greg. She raised a good man. Thanks so much, Greg, for joining us.
You're very welcome. Bye.
My guest is Greg Pallast, investigative reporter whose news-breaking stories have appeared on BBC Television, The Guardian, and now Rolling Stone magazine. And his latest film is called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.